You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's happening, Broncos country? How are you doing today? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best news, coverage, and insight into all things orange-blue related. No clickbait, no misleading headlines or articles. We like to keep it 110% over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. Very stoked to be back again for another episode with all of you in Broncos country. I am your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos, as well as a Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. Also, CodyRourkeNFL.com. We do exclusive video content and coverage of all things Broncos and NFL related, as well as on the YouTube channel, CodyRourkeNFL. We're getting started here in the next week as soon as the website becomes officially launched. You can see a prototype of it at CodyRourkeNFL.com right now. It's not up yet, but very, very excited about what's to come here in the next couple of days or weeks, but it's going to be very, very exciting. So Broncos country today on Locked On Broncos, we're going to hear from Broncos offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello, who met with the media yesterday to give a little bit of an update on what he's seeing in minicamp, what Joe Flacco's been like, what he looks to see in the offense, the side of the ball from the receivers to the running backs. And we also hear from Broncos Super Bowl MVP Von Miller, franchise guy that is going to be a Bronco for life, wants to be a Bronco for life. He gives his insight into several things, as well as if he had to pick at pick number 10 for the Broncos, who is his choice? A lot of insight from those two gentlemen here on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. That's segment number one. Segment number two, we are actually going to be breaking down the live NFL schedule release as it's happening. So it's supposed to release this evening. So obviously, if you're listening to this, we recorded this a day ahead. So this evening, the schedule release officially happens at 6 p.m. Mountain Time on Wednesday, and you're getting this episode on Thursday. Cameron and I, we're going to react to it live with the schedule, and then on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos, Mario Vitanzi, Cameron, and I will be breaking down each game of the 2019 schedule. What are some storylines heading into those matchups? What does the road trip look like? What does the schedule look like? Because the Broncos on paper, it's really, really tough, but the order could ease things up a little bit. We're going to go all in depth on that on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. So without further ado, let's head to Broncos headquarters at the Pat Bowlen Fieldhouse UCL Training Center in Denver, where we hear from Broncos offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello.
Joe's been a pro in the NFL for a long time. He's done some really, his resume is really solid when you just look at the course of his career. But more than anything, I think his skill set marries very, very well with the type of offense we run. He's tough. He stands in the pocket and he can make all the throws. And then those are the things that, of course, you want in your quarterback. And so looking forward to building on that.
Now, after 2 days of practice, it would be safe to say that Coach Rich Scangarello did all of his research, did a lot of film with Joe Flacco. He's probably been in a lot of meetings with Joe Flacco, going over maybe some of the stuff that they went through in San Francisco, converting that terminology from what he learned with the Gary Kubiak style of offense, which is almost a branch of what Rich Scangarello will be running with the Broncos. However, even though that it's a branch of Gary Kubiak's offensive system, that doesn't mean that it'll look exactly the same. The terminology will be the same. It'll be completely different. There are so many different schemes in football that are similar in terms of scheme and how it's run, but it's completely different. They have different, you know, landmarks. They have different identifying factors like coverage, linebacker, different reads, different checks, different audibles that are much more different. So not everything is the same. If that were the case, NFL defenses would stop every single offense that has ever stepped foot onto a National Football Field league. So with that said, I'm very excited to see what different kind of recipe and blend that Rich Scangarello will put on the Broncos offensive system with Joe Flacco using his strengths. I mean, he mentioned it in there. His skill set marries very well with what we're trying to run on this offense. And so I think when we go back and we look at 2014 Joe Flacco, where he had one of his most efficient years of his career and almost a similar kind of style offense with Gary Kubiak, I think Rich Scangarello and his Broncos style of offense is building this offense around the skills, the scheme of what the quarterback has had success with, what the quarterback is good at, and not forcing the quarterback to really adapt to the system, but more so making the system adapt to the quarterback. And that's a pretty smart ploy. One of the major questions that everybody has is how involved will they be with the offensive side of the ball in terms of Coach Fangio and Rich Scangarello working together? Because Vic Fangio has that history, that background in terms of the defensive side of the ball. But Rich Scangarello says that the value of having Coach Fangio sit in on meetings has been very, very helpful for him. He's been very instrumental with feedback and describes Coach Fangio as the first guy in the building and the last to leave. And being involved in offensive meetings and installs and providing that feedback, that's a pretty good element for a guy who's been in the National Football League for years, giving it to a guy who's a first-year NFL offensive coordinator.
He's been there every step of the way. He's he's got a lot going on. He's responsible for a lot of things, but Vic's very detailed. He's the first one in, last one to leave coach. So he's on top of everything, and he demands a lot out of us. And he's been great to work with. And he sits in our meetings, our install meetings. And, yes, from the defensive perspective, he gives great input for myself to grow as a coach. And it's been very, very good.
Coach Scangarello had a lot of high praise for Courtland Sutton, describing him as an ascending player, which I think that's definitely exciting for a guy that has room to develop and grow even more as he gets older into his NFL career. He was also asked about Brennan Langley, who made the transition from cornerback to wide receiver, and what traits he actually brings to the table for the Broncos offense, or even to that receiver group. It was very interesting to hear what Coach Scangarello had to say.
You know, he has the trait you can't teach. He can run. He's got speed, and that's what we're looking for. We having that in our offense helps things. It keeps the top off the cut. Allows us to push the ball down the field with Joe. We're going to carve out a role, and we're looking for guys like that, and that's kind of where he fits. And so far, he's done a great job.
Going back to last year, I spoke recently with a couple of Broncos players who talked about what Brennan Langley actually did in practice when he was on the practice squad in training camp, that he is definitely a fast guy who's deceptively quick despite his stature. He's actually a big mold type guy, and that what Coach Scangarello had mentioned is that he has the opportunity to carve himself into a role where it could allow Joe Flacco to push the ball down the field vertically, and maybe we're talking about top end speed. He is a fast player at wide receiver. Now, the thing that I want to look at with Brennan Langley is that everything that you look at to measure the tools of a wide receiver: can he get off a press jam? Can he be able to work at the top of his routes? Can he stem a defensive back? Can he focus and look off a DB with his eyes? Is he able to throttle down and be in position with well-timed passes on routes like hitches and comebacks? Those are things that I want to see a little bit more of from Brennan Langley, but having the speed nature of that definitely helps him in his favor as he tries to pursue to fight for a roster spot in this Broncos offense, which if you look at the Broncos wide receiver room, you'd think it would be a little hard unless he's a guy that beats out a guy like River Craycraft. Then maybe he can fight his way into a role, but I think he has a big role regardless on this team in special teams. I think he was a very valuable player on the special team side of the ball for the Broncos last season. He could provide a return value to them in a true scheme fit, and I think he's going to focus a lot on getting even faster and maybe losing some of that bulk, because when you play defensively, you got to be able to sort of counteract some of the bigger receivers that you get in the league, so maybe he might lean down a little bit. It'll be interesting to see that storyline play out throughout NFL training camp, and we'll have you covered over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. But coming up in just a moment, we're going to get to there, but before we jump into segment number two, where we hear from Broncos inside linebacker Von Miller, I'm going to tell you guys about Body Armor Sports Drink. It is my go-to every single day. You hear me talk about it on every episode of Locked On Broncos because I legitimately drink at least one a day, and my whole fridge is stocked with it, and I want to thank Body Armor for sending it out to us. But here's the thing. Tropical Punch is the flavor of the day over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast, and I encourage you guys, if you have not tried the Body Armor sports drink, please go do so now. And the reason I'm telling you that is because they are a natural sports drink when you compare them to other drinks like Gatorade, for example. Gatorade and Powerade, they use artificial flavors, colors, dyes, and sweeteners, so you're not getting a real natural sports drink. And they also have a light version. Blueberry Pomegranate Light, Coconut Light are some other go-tos for me, and they are the first ever naturally sweetened low-calorie sports drink on the market compared to Gatorade Zero and Gatorade G2. Those are still full of artificial sweeteners, and Body Armor Sports Drink is not. They also feature potassium-based electrolytes rather than sodium-based, which Gatorade has a lot of sodium and their electrolytes. So potassium-based electrolytes are fueled by the coconut water, which is high in potassium, that they include in every single Body Armor Sports Drink. So you can check it out at your local King Supers, Safeway, Walmart, or Walgreens, and check it out today. Flavor of the day, Tropical Punch, Body Armor Sports Drink. Go get it. Broncos star linebacker Von Miller met with the media following day two, the conclusion of minicamp practice. And one of the things that he had talked about, he was asked about what it's like being coached by Coach Fangio early on here in the mini portions of minicamp and how it fits to the scheme of a 3-4 style defense, where Von Miller believes he is a natural fit. This is where he was supposed to be in terms of the style of a player that he is, and he's very excited to work with the 3-4 guru, that is Coach Fangio.
It's great. It's great. I've always felt like I was, outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. When I came out in college, it was, all the experts said that was my position, and I really believe that, outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, from coverage into rushing, it just fits everything that I do. It fits my build. It fits who I am, and Coach Fangio is a 3-4 guru, and it's good to be in a system like this where, it's all about, the outside rushers and the outside linebackers.
Vaughn was asked by the media if he follows the NFL draft, follows all these prospects, and he responded with the likes of that, he likes the same guys that everybody else likes, and he's got a visit with Quinn Williams. He likes Devin White, but he also got to hang out a little bit with Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State quarterback, who we talked about last week, is coming into his interview with the Broncos organization and really impressing them and kind of setting the tone with wearing a John Elway jersey. Von Miller likes the style that he is. He said he's played with good quarterbacks. He's played with good defensive tackles like Quinn Williams. He's played with good inside linebackers, and he would be okay with any of those guys at the pick.
My pick is the pick them. But like I said, I'm not running the show, so whoever we get, I'm okay with. I just want to get the best available, and if we do that, I'm good with that.
That was in reference to quarterback Dwayne Haskins in terms of what Von Miller was talking about. Von Miller likes him, thinks he's got a little bit of an edge to him, had a chance to meet him when he visited last week, and there's been a little bit more traction growing with the sense that Dwayne Haskins could fall in this year's NFL draft. A lot of people had initially projected him to go maybe picks 3-6. The people are looking at the New York Giants as a destination for him, but that talk has kind of subsided, and some talk has actually come about that where, they expect him to drop between the 10 and the 17 range, and if that's the case, then the Broncos might have a chance to pick him up at 10. So regardless, Von Miller would like the Broncos to do whatever's best for them. I mean, he has his opinions, as does every player, as does, all of us over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast, as well as every Locked On mock draft person that we have here across the Twitter sphere. I mean, everyone's doing these mock drafts for the version 1999, and we won't know until next week, because the NFL draft is going to occur next week. We're going to have live breakdown of the Broncos pick at pick number 10 in the NFL draft, or if they decide to trade up, we're going to have complete reaction and coverage over here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. But we're going to take a quick break right here real quick, and then Cameron and I, we're going to be back, because guess what? The NFL schedule release is happening, and we're going to break it down live. We're not going to go in depth to every single matchup in detail. We're going to break down the official schedule in terms of the order, the games, and then tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos, like I said, we are going to be jam-packed with Mario Vitanzi breaking down every single game of the NFL regular season for the Broncos in the year 2019. Cameron and I just got the NFL schedule for the Broncos in 2019. We're going to react to the matchups, obviously the alignment of the schedule, but tomorrow is our more in-depth focus as we talk with Mario Vitanzi as we're well-adjusted matchup weeks 1 through 17. In-depth storylines and discussion. It's going to be a long episode on tomorrow's episode of Lockdown Broncos. But Cam, the Broncos, no surprise, it was leaked a little bit earlier. They're only one of their only two primetime games on national TV, unless you live in Colorado. I mean, you get them every weekend, but if you're out of the market, there's only two nationally televised games. That's week 1 on the road, doubleheader at the Oakland Raiders.
It's the first time in 9 years that the Denver Broncos will be opening up a game, at least on their schedule, on the road. And it's a really tough test to begin the season. And we'll see if Antonio Brown has jitters. We'll see if Brandon Marshall has first team jitters. We'll see. But it's going to be a very fascinating game to watch. And so one familiar face, should we say, and some new faces, should we say, on both squads.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, especially this matchup. I mean, John Gruden entering his second year as a coach. We'll dive into that a little bit more in depth. But yes, a tough one to start the season on the road at Oakland. Week 2, it doesn't get any easier if we go based on last season. The Chicago Bears will come to town, Bronco Stadium, a mile high, and that is going to be a 2:25 p.m. kickoff. That game will air on Fox. But yeah, Coach Fangio's former team coming to town, that game getting out of the way a little bit. So, a former defensive coordinator now against, their head coach. So I think that's going to be a fun storyline to kind of follow there. But like I said, I mean, the Broncos play the NFC North next year, so they have Chicago week 2, and then week 3 you have to go on the road at Lambeau Field and play Aaron Rodgers and the new look Green Bay Packers. This is, I'm kind of relieved on this one though, because you don't have to go to Lambeau Field in December.
Yeah. I honestly would say the first five games are really a strong telling point of the early season as far as really strong games, because you and I talked a little bit about Jacksonville as the next game, and they're going to have Jacksonville at home, and then they're going to be away for the LA Chargers. It could or could not be maybe a home game. We know that the Denver Broncos travel well down there for the Chargers games. But as you and I said in a previous episode, what Jacksonville team is going to show up? I think that that to me is going to be the telling sign of the, should we say, the five-game stretch here. And should we say the Tennessee Titans as well? But I mean, that five-game stretch when you're at Oakland and then you play Chicago at home and then you fly immediately to go play the Green Bay Packers, and then you got Jacksonville at home. And so you're basically going, you're going away, home, away, home, away, home. And then you're home for at least two games with Tennessee and Kansas City. It's a rough schedule.
It is. To be honest with you, leading up to the bye week, which the Broncos get a week 10 bye, those nine games, in my honest opinion, on paper right now when I'm looking at it, it is brutal for the Broncos. And as we mentioned, the Raiders week one, Bears week two, Packers week three, Jaguars at home week four, new look with Nick Foles. Then you have to go on the road, play the Chargers. They're still a good football team. And then you got the Tennessee Titans, who I think they're trying to make that next step with their head coach. And ultimately, I don't believe that Marcus Mariota is done in Tennessee. So keep an eye on that. Then Thursday Night Football, another primetime game, the last primetime game for the Broncos, pending whatever happens later on in the season. But you're taking on Thursday Night Football against the Chiefs 4 days after you play the Titans. Then you got to go on the road to take on Andrew Luck and the Colts. Tough game there. And then you got to come back week nine and you got to host the Cleveland Browns. That's going to be a tough nine-game stretch. And I think the Broncos, if you look at it, I know a lot of fans are freaking out because it is a brutal, brutal, brutal stretch of the schedule. The first half, I honestly think the second half of the Broncos season is a little bit more favorable, but still, it's absolutely tough. And that goes to show because the Broncos have the second most difficult schedule in the 2019 season behind the Oakland Raiders, who have the first and the most toughest schedule in the NFL. But we're going to get to parts two of the schedule release. We know the first 10 weeks of the NFL season for the Broncos. And a quick recap, Raiders, Bears, on the road at Packers, home against Jacksonville, on the road at the Chargers, home against Tennessee, home against the Chiefs, on the road at Indy, home versus the Browns, and then a week 10 bye week. And the biggest hope is that the Broncos can stay healthy, but we're going to get to weeks 11 through 17 coming up here in segment number three, our final segment of tonight's show. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys, check out Adamatis and Locked On Nuggets. The Nuggets are in town for the San Antonio Spurs down there in San Antonio. The Nuggets coming back from an epic fourth quarter behind Jamal Murray and his 21 points in that game. The Nuggets were down at that point by 19 at one point, really struggling with basketball and operating their flow, the efficiency in the first three quarters. Fourth quarter blows it away. Series tied 1-1. Nuggets have a chance to take a 2-1 lead if they could go on the road and defeat the San Antonio Spurs. All right, part two of the NFL schedule release, weeks 11 through 17 for the Broncos. Cameron and I kind of recapped quickly weeks 1 through 10, and it's a really, really tough stretch. Very, very tough matchups on the board for the Broncos in the first half of the season. The second half, a little bit easier on them, but it's still very, very tough, which accounts into their second most difficult schedule according to the NFL schedule and strength and everything like that. So open up the second half of the season, you have your bye week following the week 9 matchup against the Browns. You go through a week 10 bye. You come back on Sunday, November 17th. You're on the road for an 11 o'clock game, an early Eastern time zone game where you're taking on the Minnesota Vikings. In Minnesota, you're at the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, Stephon Diggs, and now, you know what, Sunshine, Jordan Taylor, Adam Thielen. Maybe we'll see a little bit of a Sunshine reunion there. But, you know, definitely that Vikings defense is still going to be tough. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in depth tomorrow. But, man, that's a tough one. And then you got to go back-to-back, two Eastern time zone games at Minnesota, at Buffalo in week 12. That is a rough start, in my opinion. Now, Buffalo is a little bit more favorable on paper, but that defense could still be pretty good by then. Who knows?
I think this is why it's a little bit tricky on the tail end of these games, because And it's one of those reasons why the Denver Broncos schedule really is second toughest in all of football. We're talking a little bit how the Jacksonville and the Tennessee Titans game were a little bit unpredictable. Well, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, I mean, who knows what we're going to get? I mean, we think with a second-year quarterback with Kirk Cousins in that system, we're going to get a better quarterback. We're going to get necessarily a better offense. And we know the defense that's there in Minnesota. And then you got Buffalo, second-year quarterback with Josh Allen. And then you go and you face the Los Angeles Chargers at home. And then, obviously, the Houston Texans. And this is where you and I were kind of talking a little bit about it seems like there's a really good majority of 11 o'clock games this year. And actually two of them happened twice where the Broncos with Minnesota after the bye week, they play Minnesota for an 11 o'clock game after the bye week. Hopefully they have them ready before that bye week or after that bye week. Then they go and play Buffalo at 11 o'clock. And then they have the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs at 11 o'clock in the morning. That to me is a very, very, should we say, uneasy game with the Kansas City Chiefs when you're thinking that you're going to be playing Patrick Mahomes really that early.
Well, if you look at the Broncos, if history, you know, the last couple of years, it was rare that we ever saw the Broncos play at 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, there were several games, maybe one or two throughout the season, where the Broncos would actually have an 11 o'clock game. More than likely, it was an Eastern time zone game. You had the Baltimore Ravens game last year. You know, going back to the past year, the Philadelphia Eagles a couple of years ago, the year they went to the Super Bowl. But this season, the first half of the season for the Broncos, most of the games, you know, you have two primetime games in the evening. You have the Kansas City Chiefs Thursday Night Football game, Week 7. Oakland Monday Night Football, 8:20 p.m. Mountain Time on ESPN. But most of the games there, you only have one 11 a.m. kickoff game. That's against the Packers. That's good news. You get to avoid the snow, the tundra in December, and you also get them at 11 in the morning. So it's going to be a little bit warm in Green Bay during that time in September. But a majority of those games are 2:25 or 2:05 p.m., which what we're usually used to with the Broncos regularly. However, the second half of the season, like I said, you have two 11 o'clock games in a row, the Vikings, the Bills, and then you have two against the Texans and Chiefs back-to-back. And I'm sorry, I mean, that's different. We know historically the Broncos in recent memory, they have struggled with those early games. The first slate of games, they have struggled quite a bit. And I'm hoping they can turn that because a lot of those times involve you to travel on the road. I don't see the Broncos having 11 a.m. home games. So these are all road games, and the Broncos have a very, very tough test with them as well. So like I said, the first half at Minnesota, at Buffalo, home against the Chargers, big, big game there. Back on the road at the Houston Texans. That's good news because in December, I mean, you're inside the dome, so you don't have to really worry about weather, especially in Texas at that time in December. But the one that's going to be a little interesting is on the road in December at Kansas City, 11 a.m. There could be some snow there, and then you're going to host the Detroit Lions either on a Saturday Night Football or that Sunday, and that's going to be in Denver. So also, it could be cold. It could be snowy. I mean, we saw a really weird winter this last season. We didn't see a lot of snow in terms of being at Broncos games, but it's going to get cold. And then you kick off the season finale against the team you started the season with at home against the Raiders, 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff. So the Broncos' initial schedule is rough. It is hard on paper. It looks very, very challenging. But based on the offseason moves, where's your comfort level? That's our Lockdown Broncos thought of the day. So with that said, we're going to transition to tomorrow's episode of Lockdown Broncos. We want to thank you guys for joining us here today for an episode of the show. We heard from Rich Scangarello. We heard from Von Miller. And Cameron and I, we kind of broke down in a quick overview of what the Broncos' official 2019 schedule will look like. So with that said, tomorrow's episode is massive as we detail weeks 1 through 17 in fashion form with Mario Vitanzi as we get well adjusted to a complete breakdown of some of the storylines for those teams at the Broncos will be facing in 2019. It's definitely going to be a fun one. Stay tuned and have a great rest of your day. We appreciate you guys, Broncos Country. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the show. See you tomorrow.